CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Near the borders of Syria, Lebanon, and the West Bank, fighting has broken out between Israeli troops and pro-Palestinian protesters. CNN's Rima Maktabi is at a Lebanese border town.
We were hearing the gunshots, and let me explain why. These are probably the most tense borders for Lebanon. The protesters, Palestinian protesters, are just few kilometers away from the border, and the Lebanese army is deployed heavily on this border just to prevent any Palestinian or Lebanese or whoever from coming close to the Israeli border.
At least two people were killed along the border with Lebanon. Syrian TV reports four protesters died in the Golan Heights area. More gates along Louisiana's Morganza Spillway could be opened today in an effort to spare Baton Rouge and New Orleans from flooding. However, that means other towns like Gibson, Louisiana, could get drenched.
They are preparing like it is going to get bad. They're going to be filling up sandbags, and the families and residents here are going to be allowed to voluntarily go and pick up these sandbags to help protect their property. But it does look like a good chance that flooding will be taking place into this part of southern Louisiana.
Meteorologist Patrick Crawford of CNN affiliate WDSU. He's one of the top Republicans in the House. Now Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan says he's considering a run for the Senate. Now the Democrat Herb Kohl has announced he's retiring.
Well, Herb just announced this Friday. It was a bit of a surprise to all of us. And so my family and supporters, we just started digesting this.
Ryan says he'll decide this week. He was a guest on CNN's State of the Union. The lawyer for International Monetary Fund Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn says his client will plead not guilty to attempted rape. A New York City hotel housekeeper claims Strauss-Kahn tried to sexually assault her. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Here's another Home Depot advantage. A special buy on 1 1/4 cubic foot bags of Miracle-Gro potting mix for just $6.88. That's a guaranteed low price on organic soil proven to grow plants and vegetables up to twice the size. Find it lower anywhere else, and we'll beat it by 10%, which means even bigger savings on even bigger plants. All thanks to Miracle-Gro potting mix for just $6.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Heather from Bakersfield writes, how do you feel about rain? Well, Heather, if you're talking about the downpour of savings people are getting on their motorcycle insurance with Geico, then I love it.
It's quite literally a money monsoon.
Ooh, a late afternoon cash shower.
And those riders who complete a motorcycle safety course will have an even higher chance of savings cloudbursts.
Now, the only kind of rain I don't like is the wet kind. Humidity makes my hair frizz.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. And what you heard is true. Nikki does enjoy chatting up chefs.
I do. It's very true. And other people,
thing,
too.
It's but a good chefs, thing I'm not a jealous man, because everybody there is honey and babe and sweetie and, you know, right?
You're not a jealous man?
I am.
I think that's the understatement
of
this
kill
century.
Them all.
Right.
But not today.
Good.
Especially not these guys.
Okay.
All right. So we got a great show. It's going to feed your senses, your palate, and your intellect. How about that for a thoughty show?
That's a way to introduce it.
First up, we've got Bibiana's executive chef, Nick Stefanelli, and with him is lamb and sheep farmer Craig Rogers of Border Springs Farm.
You're shaking. You're making noise.
I'm making noise? Am
yes.
I making
you're
noise?
You're making noise when you're shaking.
Oh, my God.
So please.
Even
just keep going. Just
it's like
keep
having
talking.
My mommy on the show.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
The guys are in today to clue us into what's going on with the first annual American Lamb Jam.
Yeah.
It's a cooking contest pitting some of D.C.'s top chefs who are going to compete for bragging rights and the chance to move on to face other top chefs in the finals in New York this September.
I'm going to be a judge, and I think it's awesome.
You are? Why am I never asked to be a judge?
Because I don't trust your palate.
No, I'm mad at you, Nick. All right, go ahead.
Well, also, coming up later in the show, if you check the dictionary for the word sustainability, you'll find a D.C. chef featured there. It's Barton Seaver. Many of you know him. He has become the poster boy for sustainable seafood, not just locally, but also nationally and internationally. And he's in today to talk about his new cookbook called For Cod and Country, and I just love the name. So he's going to give us all the 411 about it. And also in the show, we have Chef Devon Capelli. She is quite unusual because she's one of the very few executive female chefs who works here in D.C., and she is at the Renaissance Hotel, the M Bar down there, and she's going to tell us about some of the food she's serving there as well.
And also back is our version of Alec Baldwin, Eric Platt, who's now VP and Director of Sales with Pacific Prime Wines from New Zealand. Do you want to like do the shout-out to your wife so we can get it out of the way?
Let's get it out of the way.
Hi, honey. Happy birthday.
Hi, honey.
Happy Sunday.
I don't have to do that. Anyway, and he's in with Sips and Info to help us get to know these wines, and he brought with him Paul Caldry all the way from Auckland, New Zealand. Paul is you're the senior VP with the company,
That's
correct?
That's right. Yeah, good morning. Nice to be here.
Nice to have
you to come in. We love when people fly all the way in just to come on our show.
I'm so...
That's exactly what he did.
What a compliment. So, Paul, why are you here?
I'm here. I'm on a three-week tour across the country, drinking wine and eating great food every day. And we're setting up distribution. We're a brand-new company, and it's all owned by the winery. So we're setting up distributors in around about 15 to 20 states.
And how many wines are in your
We have
new
five
group?
Wineries.
Five wineries.
Five wineries from across the country, all the key growing regions of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask, because you've got vineyards like My Vineyards from Hawke's Bay and other places. Are these going to be brand new tastes for most of the American audience?
They sure are, yeah. Some of these have been in the country before, a few years back, but this is predominantly new to most Americans.
And how did you go about picking your profile for this?
Well, they all had to be sustainable. They all had to be family-owned and operated.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be a good mix of wineries across the country. And also, of course, you know, it's a given, they have to be great wines.
Right, of course.
All right, so...
What did you pour for us?
Yeah.
Most importantly, what did you pour
for us?
Starting off with
me.
Something that's perfect on a Sunday morning, Sunday brunch. It's from Lake Chalice Winery at the top of the South Island in Marlborough.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, and it's called Cracklin Savvy.
I love the name.
A slight spritz to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice and cool. Not to put WFED in the ground this morning, but the air conditioning in the studio broke, so we're all in here.
It's a little warm in here.
I intend to lose even more weight this morning. Let's see what this tastes like.
Oh, there is a little effervescence on the end.
And this is something that hasn't been seen in the U.S. before, a Cracklin Sauvignon Blanc. So it's got all the varietal characters that you'd expect from a Sauvignon Blanc, but that's sparkling as well.
So all what right. is it that provides the sparkling?
It is actually carbonation.
It is, okay.
Yeah, so it's not...
It's part of the process.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Very interesting. Well, thank you very much.
All right, well, we are sipping and tasting. Let's move on to Nick and Craig. And Nick, I want to start off with, I learned an important fact about you, and I know you want me to tell you. You're a lambassador.
I am.
So when they see you coming, do they go, Nick, like that? I mean, how does that work?
I haven't gotten that one yet. That was a new one.
Thank you. You can keep it.
I already heard it, just
was,
so you know.
Four of us selected around the country to kind of represent the local movement of lamb.
Mm-hmm.
To really get people to understand and try to get them to buy a local domestic product that's close to home because of the freshness that you can get and also the health benefits that lamb also offers as being a lean meat as well. So,
well, what is it about lamb that you don't think people know about? I mean, who?
I think a lot of people perceive it as being gamey, maybe some mistreating the old lamb and mint jelly type thing where it's a beautiful meat. It partakes to a lot of different flavors, just like beef would. So,
do you think people get confused and actually put the mint jelly on the lamb while it's still in the pasture? And that could be...
I really can't speak on those.
Go ahead.
But I think there's somebody here who could speak to that. We have in with us also today from Border Springs Farm, Craig Rogers. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, what a pleasure and an honor this is.
Oh, well, honor, please.
Tell us about the farm.
Please.
We have a beautiful farm in the foothills of the Blue Ridge in very southern Virginia on the North Carolina border.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 700 ewes or mother sheep at the moment and probably about 1,200 lambs on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They grace the foothills of the Blue Ridge. And so we have two different types of flocks. We have a hair sheep flock. They actually shed their wool, known to be fairly lean, not a lot of fat. And I think what we have found is that the flavor that most Americans don't care for when they think of lamb, or it was perhaps grandma's mutton,
right,
and older sheep. And now we have,
boiled into submission too. So
precisely, and so lamb is less than a year old by definition. And what I've tried to do is to create a lamb that has a fat that's so sweet that you want to suck on it like bacon.
We actually make pancetta out of it in the restaurant.
What is this? I've been like eyeing this since you.
This is actually Craig Rogers' smoked lamb leg. He does himself, and then in the jar we have a lamb rillette, which is the lamb shoulders are confit and then taken out and then mixed with some aromatic root vegetables.
It's gorgeous.
A little bit of the lamb fat and some lamb stock, and then mixed to emulsified together.
So. Oh, wow. Right. So now, well, Craig, you supply lamb to some of the top restaurants here in D.C. What's sort of been the education process for you? Because you weren't a shepherd initially. You sort of came into this. So how did you educate yourself, and then how did you go about educating the restaurants?
Well, I've had many careers prior to being a shepherd, or in preparation for being a shepherd. Was a professor of mechanical engineering for years and dean of a college. And and 25 years ago, when I was traveling the world, I enjoyed culinary adventures. And so I guess I was a foodie before there was such a word.
So you're trying to take my title? Go ahead.
Yeah. So
I'll beat you up later for it. It's fine.
Yeah, well, it's clear in this lineup.
Trust me, she's
who the beast is.
She can probably take it. She's the beast. Believe me.
But so I've always enjoyed fine dining. And upon having what was supposed to have been a hobby farm and finding that the numbers grew too large for it to be considered a hobby any longer, I decided that living in rural Virginia, that it was difficult to enter restaurants through the front door, so I'd start entering through the back door with a lamb on my shoulder.
And
becomes bearing gifts. I love that.
And it's been grand. And so, you know, I took a lot of care in the beginning to select chefs that were going to honor the animals, and so I now have a pretty spectacular client list of great chefs.
Well, I do want to point out David Hagedorn, who's a good friend of ours, wrote a fantastic article about you in the Washington Post just a couple weeks ago, just about the care you give to your animals and sort of the congenial feeling on your farm. I mean, he just had such a wonderful time. I just think that speaks volumes, and I think that's what more chefs, Nick, you can back me up or not on this, but I think more chefs are looking for people who care. There's a lot of care in what they do. It's not just passion. It's caring for that animal and making sure it's a healthy product that's coming to the table.
It translates into the flavor, into the product that you get in the back door, and that's really why we seek out and use these growers and farmers, because of what we end up getting. Mm-hmm. It costs us more as a restaurant to bring in, but in turn, what we're putting on the plate is a superior product that the flavor is, you can't compare. So.
Well, let me transition you guys to Lamb Jam, because this is a new thing. It's the first one, right?
This is the first one.
So what?
What is the concept? Is it like
it's
the Kochan of lamb? I mean, is that what they're trying to
similar,
do?
It's really to get, I guess, to see the diversity in lamb. Every chef's going to get one cut. It's not where Kochan set up, you get a whole pig,
right,
where you show your diversity. It's a best of dish. So you get one cut, you do one dish, and it's a tasting format very similar to like Taste of the Nation.
So people are going to be able to walk around.
I believe it's 16 chefs is the final count that we
have. Wow, you've got a lot of people.
We all get our lamb in, and then we have you have your competition that way. So. It's friendly. I mean,
and
it's good.
Let's talk about the judges. How do we get? What do we eat? No, I'm joking.
Well, one of the important things,
you
too,
are
I
insufferable.
Think.
You know that, don't you? I'll be at home with the kids.
I think the other aspect of Lamb Jam that is important to the American Lamb Board is obviously the promotion of American lamb. Most consumers are familiar with a rack of lamb.
Right.
So, in fact, at Lamb Jam, the only part that you won't find is a rack of lamb. So forcing the chefs to use parts that most consumers may not be quite as familiar with, like shoulders and shanks. And
you're starting to see more of them in the grocery stores. You'll see the ribs, you'll see the legs, you'll see
Absolutely.
The shoulders and things like that. So showing, I guess, people who might feel uncomfortable using these products that there's so much diversity that you can use and play with, like as if it was any other, if it was a beef or pork or anything like that.
Well, I think in this snout-to-tail culture that is, you know, riding this wave, like that goes with lamb too. I mean, people need to expand and use the whole animal.
I mean, for me, the neck and the shoulders are my favorite out of the whole animal.
What do you do with it?
There's a lot more flavor in it. It's one of the working muscles, so we do a lot of confiting and roasting and braising with it, so it really brings out this really beautiful flavors in the lamb. So.
All right, well, let me make sure, because people listening must be going, Lamb Jam, where and when? It's May 22nd at the Ritz-Carlton, D.C., correct?
Correct.
And who are some of the other chefs that you're going to be going up against?
Oh, see, trick question. You asked him a trick question. Well, he can talk about lamb, but he can't talk about who's going to be there.
Bourbon Steak.
Yes.
Michael Costa from Zetania.
Mm-hmm. Here, I have a list. I got it. I know who's going to be there.
She's the judge.
Okay. So we've got 1789, BLT Steak, so that's Victor Albizu, Cafe Atlantico, Joe Palma from West End Bistro. Roberta Donna is coming. Roberta Donna is going to be there.
I haven't seen the final updated acceptance list yet.
Okay.
So I know the invitations that went out to a bunch of people, but I'm not sure who actually is confirmed.
John Critchley is going to be there?
Yes.
John Critchley will be there. So you've got a good group.
It's good because the competition's fun. We get to play against each other, and you know, you really get to see the diversity on what one person's going to do from the other with the same product.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome. And how did you get involved? How did they tap you?
I got a phone call in October of last year from the American Lamb Board about, would you like to do this? Because of the work that I've done with Craig and with other people for other cuts of meat, knowing the background that the restaurant we have and what we use, and it kind of stood for what they were trying to get out as a message. So
Megan Wortman, the executive director of the American Lamb Board in Denver, Colorado, once lived here in D.C., and she sought out who she thought was truly the rising star of D.C., and as Nick had
mentioned, we're not going to fight you on that. That's completely accurate.
Selected four shepherds and four chefs from across the country to be ambassadors, and
Should we curtsy?
Best.
Am I supposed to curtsy when I see you?
No. The honorable.
I'm waiting for my big lamb horn ring to come in.
I know. All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to spend a little more time with both Craig Rogers and Nick Stefanelli. We want to find out what's going on at Bibiana, and I want to hear about some of the other things that's going on the farm. And then we're going to be drinking some more New Zealand wines. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with Craig Rogers and Nick Stefanelli. We're talking about Lamb Jam and other things. Nick, while we got you here, there's this incredible platter. We've talked a little bit about the lamb that's here. Tell us about everything else.
Well, it's a focaccia that we make in-house. You have some pickled vegetables that we rotate seasonally. They accompany all our charcuterie dishes. Salsa verde, which is a parsley sauce made of anchovies, capers, white wine, and parsley.
It's so pretty. Looks like spring on the plate.
And it's kind of, we do a sandwich very similar to this, but we'll do a rillette on top of a piece of grilled country bread with a sliced lamb leg and salsa verde. So,
you know, for people who haven't been to Bibiana, and I have, you know, as I love to say, I lived in Italy for a couple of years.
No.
It's an Italian restaurant, but it's not your basic grandma's Italian restaurant. It's really a wonderful experience. It's like sort of new versions of Italian cuisine that you really have to try. It's just
well, tell us what's going on at the restaurant. I mean, with the seasonality change.
Well, it's like the most exciting time of the year right now, where you're coming into morels and ramps and peas and fava beans, and we wrote.
Andy's making numb noises.
then we run into everybody's favorite season of tomatoes and strawberry. I mean, there's so much stuff that comes in the back door right now that this is what you wait for. So
with all your creative juices flowing and all this product that comes in, how often do you change what's on the menu? I mean,
we're
is it every day?
Every day.
Based on what's coming
with
in?
With product, with what's available. I mean, there's so much stuff. So.
But isn't that hard for you? Because you have some dishes that people, I mean, I'm sure some
there's
of your
regulars.
There's
been some revolts in the streets where people have protested the changing of a dish, so.
Why not? It's happening everywhere else. Why not here? And why not for a better
it's
reason?
It's a compliment. It is a compliment.
It is. Really it's, I mean, you want to, if somebody comes back and is expecting, you want to have those dishes that people have come accustomed to love, but also, you know, as the seasons grow and change, we're not going to have tomatoes on our menu in the middle of January because they don't taste like anything.
Right.
So when August comes around, like, people should be clamoring for this because that's when the tomato season is. So,
absolutely.
You know, we try to use everything at its peak, and then we rotate from that, and there's that ebb and flow that consistently goes through the menu. So
great. And Craig, you don't just do lamb. I mean, that's your main focus. But you have other animals on your property?
We have other animals. And one of my passions, more from a hobby point of view, however, is heritage poultry. Mm-hmm. So I have heritage turkeys, and I raise about 250.
So should I be putting in my order now?
This is the time. I suspect you could find a way to the top of the list.
Excellent. I love that.
But
you know, wait a minute. Hold on. She's now on TikTok.
Oh, get over it.
She's a judge. Where did she get all this juice? Really?
I'm nice.
She's just Nikki Nellis' housewife. Never mind.
Mother of five.
These guys are looking at me like, you're an idiot. Yeah, forget it.
So, yeah, and the issue is that poultry in the United States and through most of the world is not born on a farm. And so what we're trying
to
do...
You and I have talked about this before.
Yes, is trying to help educate farmers and giving them new opportunities to find poultry that can truly be born on the farm. So all of my turkeys and all of my chickens, I have Buckeye chickens that I sell for fertile eggs for breeding stock, to try to expand true heritage breed poultry, grandma's chicken and grandma's turkey.
All right, so I have a quick question, and I know this involves really another... We need to bring you back to talk about this history of chicken, but when you say most chickens are not born on a farm, I don't think the layperson knows what you're talking about. So in 30 seconds or less, can you explain that?
Yeah, there's one company. It's akin to Monsanto corn and soybean. There's one company called Hubbard Breeders that provides the chicks and poults for not only North America, but most of Europe and even Al Jazeera Poultry distributes genetics. The birds are designed to be infertile so that you always have to go back to Hubbard Breeders for new stock. And your chickens and your turkeys are shipped to you through the U.S. mail, or if you're large enough, on big trucks when they're a day old. And as a livestock farmer, I find that
offensive in every way.
Yeah.
Aren't
they the ones that had the E. coli issue as well?
Well, I think
one of their plants or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen when you start mass producing anything, and animals in particular. But the point is that these are live animals, and really from a food point of view, they are absolutely delicious and unlike any poultry that most Americans have had in the past three generations.
Right.
We're talking about the ones on your farm.
That's right. Well, and it's really
it's
grandma's chicken.
Right.
You know, we're not, it's just going back to what we used to be accustomed to. And as the movie Food Inc. Shared that in the past 30 years, the size of a chicken breast in a restaurant has increased threefold.
Right.
So if we just go back to what grandma had, chickens running around the the backyard, that were born on the farm. You'd mm-hmm. think that would be a fundamental principle and tenet of good livestock farming.
I don't think most people know that. I mean, it doesn't occur to them, the process. So I'm so sorry we have to end on this note, because I would love to really discuss this
at greater length
with you. We'll bring you back.
Tell everybody where the farm is and how to find you online.
Right.
It's bordersprings farm.com. We're in Southern Virginia in Patrick County mm-hmm. on the North Carolina border, but probably the best way to find us is at restaurants like Bibiana in 1789.
Oh, very nice.
Excellent.
You're done.
I love that.
All right, and Nick, tell again where Lamb Jam is May 22nd at the Ritz-Carlton. How do we get tickets?
Fanoflamb.com. Mm-hmm. You can log on and buy your tickets there.
I looked it up. Fans of lamb.
Pardon me.
And I also, everything's on the list. I mean, we have everything on the list. Areyouonit.com. And just tell everybody where Bibiana is, please.
Corner of 12th and H.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you both for sweating it out with us in here.
All right, back to Eric Platt and Paul Coldry. You've poured another great white wine. I'm not mm-hmm. a big white wine guy, but this is delicious.
I love white wine.
Yes, we have. What you've got in front of you now is the grape variety that put New Zealand on the international map. It mm-hmm. is Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. And this one's from Lake Chalice, so one of the better ones you'll see. Mm-hmm. Fresh.
Why is that? What is it about Lake Chalice?
All of their grapes are estate. Well, most of them are estate grown. They mm-hmm. all come from the best sub-region, and that's the Wairau Valley region.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're a small producer.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own winery, so everything's done in-house. They don't have contract growers, so they manage the whole process mm-hmm. from the vineyard through to the winery.
Okay, and that's reflected. At this point, can you buy any of these wines here?
You'll be able to buy these in July.
Okay.
So we're landing our first container next month.
Excellent.
And they'll all be available in July.
I have an important question. You were at an event last night where there are a lot of women generally swooning over your accent. I'm thinking of working on that.
It works well.
I can answer that. Yes,
the answer is yes.
And the wine.
You're a bad boy. A guy with an accent and a case of wine in his trunk.
That's right.
It works. He's going to try that next. Well, that's true.
Hey, how do you think?
Yeah, wait a minute. Nick has found.
I can answer that.
Hey, we need to travel. So we go to New Zealand, and then we have the accent.
Well, I know. That's how I got Nikki, except I put on a New Jersey accent. Camille, come on.
I can answer that one, too, because I was just in New Zealand. But my wife's listening, so we can't go there.
I don't think your accent, translates the same as Paul's accent here.
Okay.
Nice try. All right. All right. Let's get Barton Seaver in
yes.
here.
Yes. Craig, can I ask you just to switch, please? Barton, have a seat.
All right. And guys, while Barton's moving in, what's the next wine you're pouring?
Okay. This is the Carrick Pinot Gris. Now, most American consumers would probably be familiar with Pinot Gris from Oregon or the mm-hmm. Northwest. New Zealand also does excellent Pinot Gris,
okay.
and the best of it comes from Central Otago, which is the most southerly grape-growing region in the world. So if you think about it, it's around about the 45th parallel south.
Okay.
That's a long way south, so it's really vineyards on the edge of viticulture. It's a fresh wine, but it's got a lot more mouthfeel and more weight than the mm-hmm. Sauvignon Blanc does.
Thank you.
So again, in terms of a food match, you're looking at summer salads or salads, all sorts of seafood, fresh oysters, that type of thing.
Well, that's perfect. I was going to say perfect for our segue as we get into introducing Barton Seaver, who is the guy who knows about sustainable seafood. He's got a new book out for Cod and Country. Barton, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be back. Nice to see you all.
I have a question for you because I've known you since Hook opened up.
You've known him before that. You've known him longer than that. Just so you know. Yeah.
When you're old, you don't remember stuff.
Yeah,
but
when why you marry young.
Be quiet. When did the whole sort of sustainability epiphany hit you? When did you one day go, oh my God, this is a whole issue, a whole thing? And when did sort of the passion for it explode?
I was really lucky. Most young chefs are very egotistical when they come out of culinary school, and I like them.
No.
Mostly were,
I haven't met any of those.
Nick, any comment on that?
I thought that the best ingredient...
I need to keep my students coming from culinary school. So.
he was going to say, shut up, Barton.
I thought the best ingredient on the plate was me, and this was when I was just starting out at St. X, and I had mm-hmm. a really great opportunity when I was very young to step out and start exploring my own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the really great fortune of beginning to deal with local farmers that had already been brought into the city by Nora, Jeff Boobin, Cahal, some of the chefs who were really leading the way in terms
sure.
of creating these infrastructures to get this produce.
Mm-hmm.
And you began to realize that just what Nick was talking about, a summer-ripe red tomato simply sliced on a plate will never be bested, despite my best efforts.
Right.
And I really began to take a step back from the plate and really let the ingredients, you know, teach me the humility that you know, really became kind of, I think the signature of my cooking is really very ingredient focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to really get engaged with the communities that were providing the food and really realize that's what I loved about food is the communion that it creates, the opportunities we have to connect with each other, our communities. And those lessons that I learned through sustainable agriculture, I transferred onto sustainable seafood and began to realize that some of my very favorite fish were disappearing or becoming too expensive. Mm-hmm. And
Let me ask you, because you know there was a report in the paper that said by 2048, basically the oceans would be fished out and we were going to have to go, you know, 2 miles down to find weird-looking things that looked like Godzilla in order to have fish out of the ocean. Is that scare stuff or is that for real?
No, it's for real. I mean, we're already going 2 miles down to find scary stuff that we shouldn't really be eating, like Chilean sea bass. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's ugly.
It's ugly. If that's not its true name. It's
Patagonian toothfish.
Exactly.
But actually, we've fished out Patagonian toothfish. We're on to Antarctic toothfish now.
Okay.
Which
so
is
we're
a separate stock. Same thing, pretty much. But
okay, well, I'm jumping ahead because then I have to ask. Because at Whole Foods right now, they are selling what they're calling Chilean sea bass. Mm-hmm. And it says MSC.
Yeah.
So are you telling me it's not?
Some of it is sustainably managed. There's a very small fishery that's certified by the Marine Stewardship Council, which is a nonprofit organization out of the UK, which by and large does a great job. There are some issues with MSC and how they go about their certification process.
So there's MSC and then there's Monterey Bay? Those are two separate?
Those are different.
Okay.
Monterey Bay Aquarium and the Blue Ocean Institute also provide wallet guides.
Right.
The classic green, yellow, and red listed species.
Right.
And Marine Stewardship Council does a very good job of certifying very specific fisheries. And they have a very rigorous chain of custody auditing. So you can be absolutely sure that the Marine Stewardship Council certified Chilean sea bass came from this exact fishery. They know which boat it came in on. And it's been kept separate from all other sea bass, so that you can be absolutely sure you're buying the right product.
Okay.
All right. We're going to have to lead us into a break, but when we get back, I want to talk about your cookbook, the new book out for Cod and Country, which is one of the great
titles of all time. Well, and I just think we should say, I mean, clearly your passion for all this led to this cookbook, and that's really what we want to get into so that people can do this in their own home kitchens and also order smartly in a restaurant. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Fooding the Beast. We're getting very serious here. We're talking about sustainability, but we'll get a little silly and have some New Zealand wines too. We'll be back
in just a second.
Bye.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house-made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye-opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Why should you take krill oil and omega-3 fish oil? Well, if you are concerned about any of the following, you should absolutely be taking both. And if you qualify, we'll even give you a risk-free trial of a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil combined with the super antioxidant power of krill. But first, you have to answer yes to one of the following. Are you concerned about your joint health? What about your memory and focus? Are you concerned about your heart health? Well, if you want to increase your joint comfort by 28% in just 7 days and promote memory, focus, and heart health, we're going to give you a free bottle of Krill Omega-3 Fish Oil. Just call this toll-free number and claim yours. 1-800-900-6118. We guarantee once you try Krill Omega-3, you won't believe the difference. That's why we're going to send you a free bottle just for calling. Call now for your free bottle and start easing sore joints today. Call 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
and a special guest just barged in. You know, sometimes when we do shout-outs to people, they just take it and enjoy it. But only David Hagedorn would rush down here to get more mic time. So what would he call you? He's a very talented former chef, former restaurateur, who's a food writer for the Washington Post. And he's here with us doing what? I guess anytime there's free food, you're interested. Yeah. Well, come on over here, boy. Get some. All right. And we've got Barton Siever in here. Barton, let's talk about the book, For Cod and Country. What was the impetus for writing it?
You know, it's the culmination of 13 years in restaurant kitchens and really broadening the message of sustainability to a home audience that you know, sustainability is really just about delicious. It's about the opportunity we have to sit down with family and friends to have dinner and also have a commitment to our natural resources.
Well, you organized it by seasonality, and normally you think of like produce that way, but why? What does seasonality have to do with fish?
Well, seasonality with fish is oftentimes very complicated because most things are available most of the time.
Right.
But when we as consumers walk into a grocery store with a recipe preordained in mind, printed out, and we walk in demanding that salmon is there because that's our recipe, then we're demanding that the system provide something that might or might not be in sync with nature's course.
But we have been conditioned.
But
to
yes,
do that.
I absolutely, we've been conditioned.
Taking the blame off of us, but you know, we have been conditioned by the grocery stores to see a tomato.
Absolutely.
You know, in January.
But 90% of cooking a good seafood dish is buying good seafood. And so if you walk into a store, the best thing you can do for the success of your dinner is to say to your fishmonger, "Hey, that's what do you got that's freshest, that's best, and best fits my wallet?" You know, and walk out with whatever's best.
Well, let me ask you a question about fishmongers, because not to name the store, but
we had a talk off air.
Yeah, talk about one small specialty store where the prices are very high, and you would expect the fishmonger to know his stuff. And Nikki took him to school on some things on seafood sustainability. So where do these fishmongers get their educations? Just from experience, and just from sort of hanging out around fish?
Yeah. And unfortunately,
like Luca Brasi, you know.
Well, unfortunately, so many of the ideas of sustainability are so complicated that there's very few black and white right or wrongs about sustainable seafood. And so a lot of it is left up to the real information exchange points, which are really this point of sale. And unfortunately,
so it's the rep?
People. Yeah. And unfortunately, there isn't sort of one universal understanding of what is or is not sustainable. And that's being argued about. And so it's very difficult for fishmongers and retailers.
Let's help people out just a little bit. Definition-wise, according to Barton Siever, what is considered a sustainable practice when it comes to ordering your fish?
Well, one of the better things that we can do is eat lower on the marine food chain.
Okay.
You know, most of our taste preferences are for very large, big predatory species. Swordfish, tuna shark,
right.
Striped bass, bluefish. Now, I feature a lot of those in the book, and those are absolutely delicious fish. But a lot of the seafood that's lower on the food chain, oysters, clams, mussels, herring, mackerel, sardines, anchovies, you know, wow, that's a great menu. If I walked into Bibiana and saw all those things, I'd say, sweet.
Gauntlet thrown down. Okay.
80% on the menu.
And those are a lot less environmentally costly.
He's a lamb master or a lambassador. Yeah. He wouldn't know.
I don't mean to out you on selling seafood in your lamb restaurant there. But it's how we participate in our relationship with the oceans. And, you know, smaller seafood, oysters. I mean, environmentalism on the half shell with a bottle of Tabasco and a six-pack of beer. Awesome. That sounds like a good time to me.
But wait a minute. Oysters, I mean, if you talk about the Chesapeake Bay, there are oyster sustainability issues, too. So it's a question.
Well, they want to grow more oysters.
Right. Well, 98% of the oysters we eat in this country are all farm-raised.
Right.
And the wild oyster is such a sort of a figment of the past, really. So farmed oysters are great. Wild oysters do have their issues.
That's scary when you think about it.
98% in the bag.
Well, so what I also, in reading your book, because it does really read like a novel. I mean, you have great essays in there and really terrific commentary. One of the things I thought was very interesting is very much like the meat, not the meat industry, but sort of people who are really into local farming and sourcing locally and eating healthier. One of the things you sort of mentioned is that protein size should be smaller.
Absolutely.
That you should, that it is... And it's interesting to see that with fish, because you hear that a lot with meat. Like, put more vegetables on your plate, keep eating protein. But if you want to work with local farmers like Craig, you know, you can't just have these big slabs of meat. And now you're saying that with fish, too. I've never, I haven't heard anybody say that regarding fish before, so I Absolutely. Just think it's interesting.
Well, we're never going to save the oceans by eating sustainable seafood alone.
Right.
We have to eat broccoli and quinoa and sweet potatoes. And
broccoli?
And the people who are eating seafood, many people are now beginning to integrate seafood into their diet for the health aspects of it, with the omega-3s, the incredible lean sources of protein that we have. Mm-hmm. Seafood really represents an opportunity for health. And part of that health message is a balanced diet full of diversified calories, tastes, textures, and colors. And, you know, that's what really makes cooking fun anyway.
Right.
When you walk into a restaurant, it's the...
Well, you don't cook, so you can't...
No, I'm not looking at you for that. Unfortunately, we've screwed up because we haven't spent enough time on the book. And I want to make sure everybody knows where to find For Cod and Country. And we're going to have to get you back in to talk about this
more. Well,
and I want to
know, are you doing book signings anywhere?
We are, actually, tomorrow night out at Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, cool.
My great friend, Heather Chittum.
Yes.
And her incredible husband, James Roth.
So Red, White, and Blue. It's Blah.
Blah.
The wine store. James has been in before. He's awesome. So that's the Wine Store out in Virginia. That's a great place to be.
All right. So listen, we're going to have you back because there's more to talk about here.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We do this about once a year. We're going to have to... I mean, if Hagedorn hadn't taken up all the time. So, Barton Siever for Cod and Country.
And he ate all the lamb.
And I'm going to assume we can find it on Amazon and in bookstores pretty much everywhere.
Look, Politics and Prose, great independent bookstore in D.C., has copies of it.
Are you going to be there doing a book signing, too?
Not booked yet, but we're hoping to, hoping to get in
there. We'll keep us posted.
Now, will you go please get Devon? And I want to find out from these guys. You know, I'm not... Nikki has... a way better palate for sort of tasting the subtleties of things than I do. What should I be tasting with this wine?
So you're looking for pear flavors, quince flavors, things like that. It's got to have a little bit more weight than a typical light style Sauvignon Blanc. So it is more food friendly wine.
I've seen people tasting wine and they, you know, because this is not for radio. I don't know diddly. I really don't. I can't remember what I had to eat yesterday. But they who will take a sip and kind of sort of suck it back with air over their taste buds, kind of that slurping thing. Is that baloney?
What you're trying to do there is oxidate the wine. So get more air around it. And that opens up the flavors. So you've heard about people decanting wine. And it's a similar process. So you're just doing...
So you mean that's for real? That's not just snooty people acting snooty?
That's for real. Yeah, that's
for real. So, all right, well, how many years will this have to stay in the bottle before it's right?
This is a drink young wine. It's a fresh wine. It will age well, but it'll have a different flavor profile as it ages. So, we recommend within the first 3 years a wine like this
to
drink it.
And your wines are not yet... We can't get them yet, can we?
You can't get them yet, but they're not far away.
Right. And when will that be?
And we're landing them in July, and Eric will give you a bit of a lowdown of where they will be listed, where they'll be ranged. You know, predominantly restaurants and fine wine retail. Typically, we won't be in grocery stores.
And is exporting to the U.S., is it a hard... It's kind of road to hoe because of all the certification and business licenses and all that.
It's an interesting market, and your listeners may be aware that the U.S. is now the biggest wine-consuming market in the world.
Well, we've got a lot of reasons to drink.
That's right. Exactly.
Overtaken France for the first time a couple of months ago. Yeah. And there's a three-tier distribution system, which is tricky. And then there are 50 different markets with every state. So very hard. And that's why our model addresses that by having people on the ground selling smaller or medium-sized wineries.
All right. Well, while you're pouring the next wine, we're going to turn to...
I want to ask quickly, what is the last wine? Because we've done three whites. That one looks... What are we doing next?
The last one, Eric, is...
Talking about this one.
Yeah. What's the last one we're going to do? There's one more.
Yeah, we're going to do the next one is going to be the Doctor's Riesling from Marlboro, made by Forest Estate. So we're going to taste that, and then we're going to finish up at the end with actually a Pinot Noir that would go really well with the lamb
from earlier.
Oh, red. All right.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, we have a new chef in studio with us. She's brought a variety of
tasty.
And she's probably someone who will want to try your wine.
Right, exactly.
Devon Capilli is the new executive chef at the Renaissance DuPont Circle. And let's start with a quick 411 on you. Where'd you come from?
My last assignment was, I'm coming from JW Marriott in Washington, D.C., and I was their senior banquet chef, and I've been at DuPont Circle Renaissance for 8 months now.
Well, you're one of the very few women executive chefs in the marketplace and overall in the nation, and, I mean, yours is a very male-dominated profession, and, I think probably it's fair to say, while overt discrimination against, women chefs is probably toned down some. Are there more subtle influences that kind of keep women chefs down? Have you found any of that?
I think we're branching out more. We're more confident. Before, it's 10% in the U.S. that have top executive positions as a female chef.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people are coming out of, it's more diverse now, coming out of culinary school, starting young, and we're coming.
I mean, are the boys trying to keep you down, or?
No, I think it's basically depending on the individuals. Like, once they see you perform and doing well, and then you get the respect, and they kind of like,
well, because it is tough in the kitchen. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people have seen these shows, and, you know, everybody has this sort of mindset that, you know, it's a lot of yelling and screaming in the kitchen, and right. finding a great mentor is probably really important.
Right. And the woman's just, we're more attention to detail oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So we're focused.
I find that shocking, don't you?
All right. So now that you're at the Renaissance DuPont Circle, what have you brought
there? And you
were
handed the reins. I mean, that must have been so exciting.
Yes, exciting.
What are you doing that's different?
Well, we're going to be launching our new M-Bar menu starting next Saturday.
M-Bar's a fun place. I was just there.
May 21st. So we are, it's a simple indigenous local flavor food. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited to implement our new menu. We have a lot of healthy options. It's pretty eclectic, but we just try to cater to all of our clients, the local and our regular traveling guests.
I think it's important to, since I was just there on Monday, I want to sort of point out that, you know, it's a really very hip lobby. It's very, very busy. There's a lot of people going on there, and it's not like a formal sit-down restaurant. It's sort of this place where you can sit down and order a steak, right. or you can have fantastic pick food like you brought in today.
Yeah, actually, let's talk about what you brought in. I see a crab cake over there, but it's too far away from me to grab.
And lobster bites, right? Am I right? Those are lobster bites?
Yes, these are, I brought a couple of signature items from our new menu that we're going to implement starting Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, we have the Maryland crab cake with a lobster tempura mm-hmm. on our indigenous honey mustard by Otters, Peaks of Otters honey mustard, which is local. It comes from Bedford, Virginia, the local indigenous honey that mm-hmm. we use, implement on the menu. It's fried spinach and tomato fricassee that goes on top.
It's beautiful.
Well, it's very pretty.
I suppose you would want an on-air review,
wouldn't
you? He
means pass the plate. That's his like, a light way of saying pass the plate.
Lobster hole.
Okay, so we do need to take a quick break, but when we come back, no, thank you. When we... You're putting rain in my face. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the kinds of things
yummy.
You're rolling out. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking more New Zealand wine, and we're going to be talking more about the M-Bar at the
Renaissance.
We're going
to talk about this mustard, too. This is delicious.
We'll be right back.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
Are you choking on that because you just put
I know, I'm
in
eating a lobster. What do you call
lobster
this?
Lobster tempura.
Yeah,
very
damn,
nice.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do a quick shout out to the folks that make this show possible. First of all, our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, making the best bagels in town.
Hello.
Over by River Road, mm-hmm. by the Whole Foods. Yum.
Yep.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, our friends at Rustico and Evening Star in Tallulah and Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our buddies over at Founding Farmers and Fishers, great supporters of the show. And the people at Modus Hospitality, Noti Bianchi, Dish, Circle Bistro, and our newest sponsor, Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. That's where Nikki's rings came from, and they're beautiful.
They
let's get a shot
but
of those.
I got them before.
Hello. There they are. All right, so Devon, let's go back to you. We were talking during the break about, you know, even though there are some restaurants in town in hotels that are considered local dining destinations, it's still kind of a foreign concept, but that's really where you're headed, aren't you? It's not just for guests.
No, it's for the locals, definitely, to come and relax in their neighborhood atmosphere where they can just kick back and try some of our indigenous products as well as our local.
I mean, you're in a pretty dense neighborhood there. You know.
With that new apartment building right across the street.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is a lot of residential.
Exactly.
Right around where you are. And let's also talk about a little bit, and you guys are doing some terrific promotions to sort of bring in locals. Not to beat my own drum again, but since I must. So you guys are doing this great promotion where you have your mixologist making cocktails for locals. So
yes.
Carol Joint was just in. They just did a cocktail for her. And I know Rich Amons is one of the people that you're making drinks for. And me.
Yes.
As well.
I just want to stop the show right here. I'm going to get my own show, and it's going to be called And the Beast.
So, I mean, what was the... Are you involved with that promotion at all? Is it just something fun to do for
yes,
everybody?
Exactly. This is a series of signature cocktails we'll be featuring monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Starts from May through December. Mm-hmm. Each month we'll feature a couple special cocktails. And then 100% of the proceeds will benefit the Children's Miracle Network.
Great.
And our
great
hotel...
Great charity.
Mm-hmm.
And then DuPont Circle will match the donation to the Children's Miracle Network for the most popular cocktail of the month.
Oh, fantastic.
It's kind of fun.
It's a great way to bring people in.
Get the staff excited.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of the other things that are in front of me.
Absolutely.
This tuna,
tuna tartare.
It's got layers of avocado. I haven't seen one quite like that. It's beautiful.
This is one of our signature items that we will feature on the menu. It's mm-hmm. our ahi tuna tartare with cilantro ponzu,
mm-hmm.
and it's been layered.
And, I mean, that's a lot of tuna. That's a half a fish.
A lot of tuna.
Yeah, it's about 6 ounce tuna, mm-hmm. ahi tuna, small diced, and it's been marinated.
You don't think you're getting out of here with that, do you?
No.
I didn't think you. I just don't want you to have any untoward expectations about making it to the door with that.
Right, and then it's layered with a homemade guacamole and a little bit of sesame seeds on top for garnish, and mm-hmm. it comes with a wonton chips fried, or you can, healthy version would be vegetable crudité. On the side for
which
a substitute.
Personally, I like.
No, and who needs health?
I say. No, because the tuna tartare really, really speaks to me. I love tuna and avocado together. I just love the combination of that.
And I just want to say that health is highly overrated. So who cares? All right. Well, Devon, when people come down there, it's nice sometimes to have the chef come out. You're there every day.
Yes.
So if anybody's got questions about the menu or wants to meet you and say hi and find out more about you, you're there, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Or if they have any special dietary needs, I am there.
Excellent. All right. And let me just ask about one more thing. So you mentioned earlier in the show your local honey.
Yes.
Producer. Are you guys looking to work with more local purveyors or people who sort of speak to what you want to work with?
Yes. Actually, we have a list of local items on throughout the menu that we're using, such mm-hmm. as a Bill and Evans chicken that's mm-hmm. coming from Fredericksburg, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And also we use Vans Chipotle dip
mm-hmm.
that's coming from Baltimore. So we use different various of
that must
local
be fun
products.
For you to sort of reach out to different people locally and get to taste different things
yeah,
and see what people are doing.
Get the creative juices flowing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Devon, best of luck to you and give the boys hell, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Don't take any guff. And go down and try some of this great food at the Renaissance DuPont Circle. Yeah?
Okay. Yep. Thank you so much for bringing
all
this gorgeous food.
Let's get back to Eric Platt and Paul Coldry. Guys, obviously, we sort of got delayed gratification because we can't find the wines right now. But when we can, what will be the way to find them? Will they be in local wine shops?
Probably, Dave, I would say the best way, yes, local wine shops, better restaurants, but you can follow us. Check our website, ppw.co.nz.
Okay.
And also my email is eric@ppw.co.nz, and we'll have updates, and you can email me, and I have an email.
And you just joined Twitter.
I just joined Twitter.
Welcome to the world, Eric. Yeah, thank you for joining Twitter. Now?
I'm not quite as far as Nikki is.
Mom, dad, sis.
Just a few. Send me all your followers, Nikki.
Okay.
Eplat Wine on Twitter, and I'll send updates on when the wines can be made available in this market. But as Paul said, it's going to be probably mid-July.
Okay.
So but right. I'll certainly send updates, and maybe I'll come back here and talk about
well,
it.
Well, a good thing to do would be to let the readers of the list know, too.
Absolutely. Well, we've already discussed that. Yep. We're way ahead of you.
Good. I'm aggressively avaricious.
I think I'm going to be doing a blog for you, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you're going to do
the fall.
First. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, cool.
So let me ask you guys. So you brought in a lot of whites today, and you have the one red. Are you looking, are you diversifying your portfolio? Will be a lot of reds and whites, or are you looking to focus on a single thing here? What would you say is the overall focus?
It's diversifying, but it's showing you the best, it's showing the U.S. the best of what we do.
Okay.
So we'll have Pinot Noir, we'll have Riesling, a little bit of Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and even some Bordeaux blends from the warmer regions in the Hawke's Bay.
Really?
So Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, things like that. So we'll kick off with about 20 different wine styles.
Okay.
And then grow from there.
And well, when you were at Heart's Delight yesterday, what were you pouring?
We were pouring Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, and Riesling, and the Cracklin Savvy.
Mm.
And the Cracklin Savvy has had an amazing reception across the country.
I bet.
And I guess before we start with the next wine, it's worth talking about sustainability. Barton was very interesting hearing him talk about sustainability. And it's worth noting that every one of our wineries is certified sustainable.
And what does that mean for wine? So now we got fish and we got food. So for wine, what does sustainable mean?
It's all about vineyard practices.
Okay.
And it's all about spray programs and, you know, ensuring that spray programs are used sustainably. It's all about soil management. And our wine growers industry body has said in 2012, if you're not certified sustainable, you can't be a member.
Okay.
So, the entire industry is moving towards sustainability. And
but that's totally different than biodynamic, right?
That is. And one of our wineries is actually certified biodynamic organic, and that's Carrick, the Pinot Gris that we just tried.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have been certified after 5 years of practicing organic practices. They were certified this year. So
all
that's
right.
exciting.
For guys, me. I'm going to have to jump in because this hour goes quickly. But
we
got to
go.
I want to thank Eric Platt and Paul Caldry from Pacific Prime Wines of New Zealand, and pretty soon you'll be able to try all of these great wines that we've just tried. And, guys, good luck. I loved everything
product.
I tasted. All right, so this show is an hour.
Yes, it is.
But there's so much more to know and do, and the place to find out about what there is to know and do is at thelistareyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe, so I'm not hawking anything that's going to feather my nest.
Mm-hmm.
But Nikki has more than 35,000 Washington area residents who've signed on there, and they're the ones that are in the know about hundreds of things that are happening in and around the area. You can also follow Nikki, join her. She's got thousands of followers on Twitter. Ha ha, Eric, she has thousands. And 10 of 1 today,
bit.
10 of 1 this Sunday and every Sunday. You can listen to Nikki on WTOP 103.5 FM.
Well, I'll be talking today. There's lots of great ways to sort of wet your whistle around town as spring comes in.
I'd like to wet my whistle.
Yeah.
I just did. And also, got to make sure you guys know that this show, you'll be able to see this show on NBC4's Washington Nonstop next Friday at 8:30 p.m. and also again Saturday at noon. We aired our first show last Friday and Saturday, and it's fun.
Okay, so as we do on every show, we like to point out a specific charity, and given the fact that we had Barton Seaver in today, we thought this was a great one.
Well, seafoodchoices.org is the thing to remember. Seafood Choices Alliance is an international program that provides leadership and creates opportunities for change across the seafood industry and ocean conservation communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not reading. I happen to know this.
Okay.
They help the seafood industry from fishermen to fish farmers to processors and distributors, make seafood better for you and make the seafood marketplace environmentally and socially sustainable, which is important. So it's seafoodchoices.org. Go there.
And as we do on every show, we'd like to leave you with a little quote.
I found a quote. I have no idea what this means, but it's relevant to fish. W.C. Fields, who was drunk most of the time,
well,
said,
maybe that's why it doesn't make
and maybe
any
it was
sense.
More than drunk, said, remember, a dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim upstream. No idea what that means, but I liked
silly.
It. So we want to thank our guests, Nick
Please
Stefanelli,
do.
Craig Rogers, Barton Seaver, Devon Capilli, Eric Platt, and Paul Coldry for joining us today.
And I want to talk about who's coming in next week. We have just a tiny bit of time. We have Blue Duck Tavern's executive chef, Brian McBride, and his guest, Brian Huston, who is the chef de cuisine at Publican in Chicago.
We just ate there, and it was awesome.
It was delicious. And they'll be talking about the Masters of Food and Wine, the culinary weekend going on at the Park Hyatt. And Fabio Trabocchi is in next week talking about his latest restaurant, Fiola.
Benvenuto, Fabio. Okay, that's Foodie and the Beast. You can hear us again live next Sunday at 11, right here on 1500 and 820 AM. Have a great week, boys.
Have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is Mr. Tom Lemus. It gives us great